Changes in the moral climate are signalled in editorials, on radio talk shows, in political speeches, in the patter of stand-up comedians and the scripts of soap operas, in the votes of parliaments making laws and the decisions of judges interpreting them. One way to put it would be in terms of changing meme frequencies in the meme pool, but I shall not pursue that.
Some of us lag behind the advancing wave of the changing moral zeitgeist, and some of us are slightly ahead. But most of us in the 21st century are bunched together and way ahead of our counterparts in the Middle Ages, or in the time of Abraham, or even as recently as the 1920s. The whole wave keeps moving, and even the vanguard of an earlier century, T.H. Huxley is the obvious example, would find itself way behind the laggards of a later century. Of course, the advance is not a smooth incline, but a meandering sawtooth. There are local and temporary setbacks, such as the United States is suffering from its government in the early 2000s. But over the longer timescale, the progressive trend is unmistakable, and it will continue. What impels it in its consistent direction? We mustn't neglect the driving role of individual leaders who, ahead of their time, stand up and persuade the rest of us to move on with them. In America, the ideals of racial equality were fostered by political leaders of the caliber of Martin Luther King, and entertainers, sportsmen, and other public figures and role models, such as Paul Robeson, Sidney Poitier, Jesse Owens, and Jackie Robinson. The emancipations of slaves and of women owed much to charismatic leaders. Some of these leaders were religious, some were not. Some who were religious did their good deeds because they were religious. In other cases, their religion was incidental. Although Martin Luther King was a Christian, he derived his philosophy of non-violent civil disobedience directly from Gandhi, who was not. Then, too, there is improved education and, in particular, the increased understanding that each of us shares a common humanity with members of other races and with the other sex, both deeply unbiblical ideas that come from biological science, especially evolution. One reason black people and women, and in Nazi Germany, Jews and gypsies, have been treated badly is that they were not perceived as fully human. The philosopher Peter Singer, in Animal Liberation, is the most eloquent advocate of the view that we should move to a post-speciesist condition in which humane treatment is meted out to all species that have the brain power to appreciate it. Perhaps this hints at the direction in which the moral zeitgeist might move in future centuries. It would be a natural extrapolation of earlier reforms like the abolition of slavery and the emancipation of women.
It is beyond my amateur psychology and sociology to go any further in explaining why the moral zeitgeist moves in its broadly concerted way. For my purposes, it is enough that, as a matter of observed fact, it does move, and it is not driven by religion and certainly not by scripture. It is probably not a single force like gravity, but a complex interplay of disparate forces like the one that propels Moore's law, describing the exponential increase in computer power. Whatever its cause, the manifest phenomenon of zeitgeist progression is more than enough to undermine the claim that we need God in order to be good, or to decide what is good. What about Hitler and Stalin? Weren't they atheists? The zeitgeist may move and move in a generally progressive direction, but as I have said, it is a sawtooth, not a smooth improvement. And there have been some appalling reversals. Outstanding reversals, deep and terrible ones, are provided by the dictators of the 20th century. It is important to separate the evil intentions of men like Hitler and Stalin from the vast power that they wielded in achieving them. I have already observed that Hitler's ideas and intentions were not self-evidently more evil than those of Caligula or some of the Ottoman sultans, whose staggering feats of nastiness are described in Noel Barber's Lords of the Golden Horn. Hitler had 20th century weapons and 20th century communications technology at his disposal. Nevertheless, Hitler and Stalin were, by any standards, spectacularly evil men.
Hitler and Stalin were atheists. What have you got to say about that?
The question comes up after just about every public lecture that I ever give on the subject of religion, and in most of my radio interviews as well. It is put in a truculent way, indignantly freighted with two assumptions, Not only, one, were Stalin and Hitler atheists, but two, they did their terrible deeds because they were atheists. Assumption one is true for Stalin and dubious for Hitler, but assumption one is irrelevant anyway, because assumption two is false. It is certainly illogical if it is thought to follow from one.